You're listening to Vulcan Has a Faith, the audio podcast about New Birmingham and the people making a difference. All right, it's another great day in Birmingham, as we always say here at Vulcan Has a Faith. And we've got a special guest today doing a little something different on the other side of what we do here, which is raising awareness for Lyme disease. It's something that not as many people know about, or the things that people that have Lyme disease suffer with. So we're very thankful to have Heather Patton. How are you doing, Heather?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Good. I so appreciate you sharing your story with us. I know it's a struggle, and you deal with Lyme disease. So thank you again for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? How long have you been in Birmingham and those things?
I am from Huntsville originally. I have been in Birmingham about 8 years. I am in my early 30s, and basically I work and try to find time to enjoy life in between there. Like you said, I have Lyme disease. I've had it for 21 years. So, yeah, that takes up a lot of my time.
I'm sure it does, yes. You have to do things when you can with Lyme disease, don't you?
Yes, yes. Yeah. So you just kind of fit it in. It's kind of like having a really big puzzle. And Lyme is most of the pieces. And every once in a while, there's an opening in there that you can fit something else in.
Yeah. So I've never really asked this question to anyone being interviewed, but what do you think Lyme disease is?
Well, the best descriptor that I can have is I've always heard it referred to as the great pretender or the great imitator, because it imitates so many different things, and that really is the best description you can have. It can mimic over 300 different diseases, everything from MS, ALS. You can have autism symptoms, arthritis, fibromyalgia, memory, neurological issues. It can affect every organ in the body. There's really nothing that it doesn't affect. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about how you got Lyme disease, the whole story of how that got started.
When I was around 11, I had gone to North Carolina to spend the summer with my dad, and it was in a little town called Montreat, outside of Asheville, and I was up there for 3 months and started just getting really tired at first, didn't know why. It started out that as soon as I would get home, I would go to bed. I would fall asleep on the couch. My dad couldn't wake me up for dinner. I would sleep through the night. I'd have trouble waking up the next morning. I was just constantly fatigued. It got to the point where I'd skip out on camp activities to go to his office and sleep during the day. After the end of the summer, I got back home and started exhibiting almost constant flu-like symptoms. I had a constant 100, 304 fever. Was in the doctor's office almost every week. And at that time, when I'd first gotten home from the summer, I had the bullseye rash, but we didn't know what it meant at the time. And so for 6 months, I was in and out of the doctor's office literally on a weekly basis. And towards the end of those 6 months, there actually happened to be a news article on one of the local stations in Huntsville about a little boy who was in Huntsville Hospital who had the bullseye rash, had Lyme disease. And ironically, they were doing the story because, oh, Lyme is so rare in Alabama. We don't really have it here. And, oh, hey, he's the exception to everything. That's not really true. That's not the case. We have Lyme in Alabama. But because of that, they showed the bullseye rash, and instantly my mom knew that that's what I'd had. So the next time we went to the doctor, she had them test me. They told her that she was an overprotective paranoid parent and that they would test me to appease her. 2 weeks later, after I had spent that was right before Christmas break. I spent the entire Christmas break on the couch sick with what we thought was the flu with 105 fever. The day I was supposed to go back to school, the doctors called and said that my test came back positive and that we had to find another doctor because they didn't know how to treat me. And so
they did the actual Lyme test on you, and you actually came up positive.
Yes, I am what is considered a unicorn in the Lyme community. I actually have a CDC positive test, which is a very rare occurrence. Lyme is a very tricky disease, so you can have false negatives. So you can test negative for it. but you actually do have the disease, because it's very, it can hide in your cells for up to 5 years at a time. You can display symptoms today and then tomorrow wake up and you're perfectly fine and can be for years on end, and then you wake up and everything under the sun is wrong. So that's one of the reasons why it's so hard to pinpoint and hard to get an accurate diagnosis with it.
I've heard that it's about 40% accurate. Is that what you've heard?
Somewhere in there.
Somewhere around in that
And then
range.
There's different ones. There's different types of tests, too, and obviously different ones are going to be more accurate than others are.
You mentioned the bullseye rash. Is that a for sure sign that you have Lyme disease?
If you have the bullseye rash, yes. However, once upon a time, especially back, 21 years ago when I first got it, they thought the bullseye rash was just the telltale. If you had Lyme, you had the rash. But since then, they've actually changed those statistics. And so now they say that only about 5% of people with Lyme will ever get that rash. So if you have the rash, yes, go get treated, fight for it, do whatever you have to do to get treatment right away as soon as possible. But just because you don't have the rash does not mean that you do not have the disease.
Yeah. You know, what really bothers me is, like you said, that even when you go in to get treated, there's just not enough education out there on how to treat it. I met a guy yesterday, got bit by a tick, had the bullseye rash. He's a pharmacist. And he basically had to fight to get antibiotics and then had to fight for the right kind because doctors didn't even know what kind to prescribe him. And even then, they only gave him 14 days of treatment. So when you first got your Lyme disease, what did they give you treatment? What was the story behind that?
Eventually. So when I first, it was 6 months before I got diagnosed, the doctors told us we had to find someone else. They didn't know how to treat us. So that started about a 2.5 year journey of going to multiple different doctors, numerous different tests. Reality was I became a guinea pig for them because they didn't have any other patients at that time who were CDC positive. And so a lot of the doctors just ran tests because they wanted to know how it affected my body and how what it did to me. So imagine being, 11, 12, 13, subjected to hundreds upon hundreds of tests, literally just for the whim of a doctor because they, they want to study you without really studying you. But so we eventually found a doctor in Anniston who had kind of stumbled into Lyme by accident. He had soldiers coming in from Fort McLennan. He was actually just a doc in the box, just an emergency care place. He had doctors or soldiers who were coming in getting bit, and so had kind of stumbled into that through that means. So I ended up going to him, and he was the first place that I got treatment. But as you mentioned, not really knowing enough, especially, 20 years ago. So he didn't know about, the Herxheimer reaction, when basically, just to add to the complication of the disease, when you are going through treatment, the actual Lyme spirochete. I never pronounce that right. So I apologize to everyone who just cringed when I said that. But basically, when you're going through treatment, they actually release endotoxins into your body, and it's at a more rapid rate than your body can flush them out. And so it triggers what's called a Herxheimer or a Herxing reaction, where basically all of your symptoms are just amplified so you go through a very, very intense period when you're going through treatment, and that's part of what makes treatment so hard. And so the doctor who initially started my first treatments didn't know about the Herxing reaction. So he had me on antibiotics, and because I'd already been sick for close to 4 years at that point, and it had already done so much damage to my body by the time that he put me on antibiotics, I was on them for about 6 months, and my body just started shutting down because it couldn't handle the overload of the endotoxins coming out, and it couldn't handle all of it. So it was pretty close to detrimental at that point. So my mom ended up, after about a year of that treatment, kind of pulling me off most of those and finding more natural and homeopathic type remedies to help.
You know, I mean, what I'm hearing, and I keep hearing this from the Lyme disease community, is you really have to be an advocate for your own health.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
You know, what you're dealing with. You said you had extreme fatigue, flu-like mm-hmm. symptoms, and fevers.
Mm-hmm.
So that was your first signs.
Those were the first signs. I would sleep anywhere from 18 to 20 hours a day. I couldn't do anything. Literally walking from my bed to the couch in the living room, I would be so physically exhausted I'd have to take a nap. I could read a page. I went from being an A-plus student, excelling in school, to struggling to keep up. I could read a page, and as soon as I finished reading, look at you, not be able to tell you a single word I had just read or what it was about. There was no comprehension there. I had a constant brain fog. There was lots of, as it progressed, and the longer I went without treatment, I had varying other symptoms that went along with it. There was a period, because part of it too, as I mentioned, you know, things can come and go. And so you might have symptoms for a little while, and then it'll get better, they'll go away. You might have them again years down the road, you might never have them again. So like there was one period of about 6 months where I had really extreme heart issues, where my heart would start beating very fast and very hard, to the point that it literally felt like a sledgehammer on the inside because it was beating so hard. And at the same exact time, my feet would go ice cold because my blood flow would cut off to my feet, and I could hold them under scalding hot water and not be able to feel anything. And the joys of doctors, the cardiologist in Huntsville, because I was still under 18, had to go to a pediatric cardiologist because of insurance. And he told me it was normal stresses of a 14-year-old, that's just what every 14-year-old goes through. And so I would literally, when it would hit, I would be sobbing, crying just from the pain, because my heart was literally beating so hard it hurt, and not able to feel anything. In fact, I still have nerve damage on my toes from it now.
Wow.
But that was just normal, you know, stresses of a teenager. But then I also, in my later teens, had a period where I was put into the hospital for 3 days with symptoms of appendicitis. I had every physical marker of it. In fact, when I was admitted, the doctors told my mom, you know, prepare for her to be here for a couple days. She's going to have her appendix removed. Every physical marker, every single test came back negative, every single one. And when they finally discharged me, they said, well, you'll be back within 6 months to have your appendix removed. And I've never had another problem since then.
That's incredible. So you mentioned insurance, so I like to bring this up too. Does insurance cover Lyme treatment?
Yeah, no. No.
That's so sad.
Yeah, even with a CDC positive test, it doesn't. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard different things, but for initial treatment, did it cover any of that at the time that you...
At the time, it covered part of it.
Part of it.
But a very small part.
Yeah. So not only do you have to deal with all these symptoms and all, you also have to deal with the financial side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so you've had Lyme for 20 plus years. So what is day-to-day life for you like now?
Day-to-day life right now we're kind of in the middle of a new normal. About 3.5 years ago, I went through a relapse. I really am just the unicorn of the Lyme community all the way around. I'm one of the few who actually got to go through remission for about 9 years. I'm very, very grateful for those 9 years that I got. Had some stressful events happen and ended up having a very severe relapse about 3 years ago. And for about a year and a half, really had no quality of life, was going through treatment. It was a really rough period. So kind of coming out of that, every day is getting a little bit closer towards what will hopefully be another remission. So it's kind of a new normal right now, mm-hmm. as kind of working kind of an in-between period. So it's there's days where new symptoms will pop up and you just deal with them as they come. And then, you know, things like arthritis and fibromyalgia type pain and, you know, other things, little things here and there are just the normal they're given Unfortunately, you know, after 20 years, you just kind of learn how to deal with certain things and how to move on. And you have to, though, to be able to still have any semblance of life.
Yeah, absolutely. So is there a cure for Lyme disease?
There is not.
There is no cure.
Mm-hmm. No.
As far as treatment goes, tell us about, because I know you've been heavily involved in the Lyme community. You've volunteered for Alabama Lyme mm-hmm. Disease, correct?
Yes.
So tell us, just from your standpoint, what are some treatments that are out there that different people try, and maybe some things that may have been successful or not successful for you?
Mm-hmm. There are so many different treatments. And you know, going back to how we said that Lyme affects everyone differently, mm-hmm. it's the same with treatments. Treatments are going to affect different people differently as well. And a lot of that does have to do with what your symptoms are, how it's affecting you. Typically, when you are first bitten, kind of the standard that's out there is if you can get treated obviously as close to being bitten, I know like the CDC and some others say within 6 months, with usually it's doxycycline, the antibiotic. If you can get treated right away, then it helps to increase your chances of effectively treating it and minimizing any long-term symptoms that you're going to have. Now, that doesn't necessarily work for everyone. You can go through that. You can go through that protocol, get it treated right away, and you still might have symptoms come up down the road. It's not a guaranteed 100%, but that is your best defense. That's why it's so important to be, as we say in the Lyme community, tick aware. You know, be aware of any rashes, any symptoms that come up, anything, because the sooner you can be treated, obviously, it's going to increase your odds of success. Now, usually, if you're going through Western medicine standards, you're going to go through antibiotic treatments. Like I said, that didn't work so well for me because I was already so sick, and my body was just already had fought for so long, and just it was just an onslaught. A lot of people have success with that. I've found more success in more of the homeopathic natural remedies realm. When I relapsed 3 years ago, I did a lot of research. I knew that antibiotics was not the course I wanted to go again. They had almost killed me once. Didn't really want to go through that again. So after a lot of research, I landed on using essential oils. There is a protocol called the Lyme Bullet. And after a lot of research, I felt like it was going to be what was best for me at that point. And the reason why I landed on it is because basically the Lyme Bullet has four or five different essential oils that you're actually putting into capsules you're taking internally. These are not essential oils that you're getting over the counter. These are not what you're picking up at your local grocery store or health food stores. These are medicinal grade, doTERRA, Young Living. These are ones that are specifically manufactured for internal ingestion if needed. So put that out there. Don't just go and get any kind, because can't guarantee what you're putting in your body that way. Might not make you better. Might make you worse. But so it's four or five that you're putting together. You're actually taking it much like an antibiotic regimen. And the reason that I landed on it is because when you're doing it the right way and when you're drinking enough fluids with it, the essential oils actually will encapsulate the endotoxins that are released. And then as you're drinking enough fluids, they will flush them out faster, and so it cuts down on that herxing reaction. And so that's the reason why I decided that was the option. I had great success with it. Unfortunately, it's a little pricey. So I did it for about 6 months total, and then once I'd started seeing some success, switched to another alternative instead. And so now I'm kind of on more of a regimen to continue to build up my immune system while also helping to push me towards remission. And so it's everything I take has a very specific purpose. There's about 24 different pills that I take every day now.
Wow, 24.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And that's pretty common in the community, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
That's actually on the low side. When I first got sick, I was taking about 40-something a day.
Wow. That's incredible. Well, you know, we thank you for being here. I mean, it's like you said, I mean, it affects people different ways. There's different kinds of treatments, and being an advocate for your own health is so important. Just to give you an example, I got bit by a tick last week, a deer tick, and went to the doctor, and they didn't know what to do for it, wasn't really going to do anything. And I asked them about going ahead and starting doxycycline, which is the antibiotic. The doctor wanted to do 14 days, and I at least got her to increase that. So, again, what we're trying to do is raise that awareness, know what to look for. Above all, prevention is the most important thing.
Definitely.
Of spraying yourself with, you know, insect repellent, tick repellent, things like that. But, again, we thank you for sharing your story because it's another, you know, way to get the word out there of what to look for, signs, symptoms, and possible treatments.
Yeah, definitely.
So, Heather Patton, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Scott.
Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Vulcan Has a Fade. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud.